Okay, so we are holding on Kufnun Beis Amud Beis. Seventh line of the wide lines. Line begins Lahen. Okay, we left off talking. We were talking about various things involving Misa, where yesterday we brought all the psukim in Kehelas. Then in Kehelas, they talk about what happens when a person gets old, how their body breaks down, etc. And the pasuk finishes off how the person passes away. We said v'yoshev al ha'afal aretz k'shahoyev gomer, the dust return the body to the body which is made out of dust returns to the earth like it was, and the ruach goes up to Hashem. Amar Lei Rav Mari, Lei doesn't belong over here. Amar Rav Mari, Rav Mari says, Asidim tzadikim dehavu afra. In the future, the tzadikim will become dust. In other words, even though, as the Gemara is going to say, you have certain tzadikim whose bodies don't decay, but eventually they're going to become dust as well. Well, actually, at this point, the Gemara doesn't realize yet that there's a difference between tzadikim, that for the time being they don't decay, and everybody else who does. Right now, Rav Mari is just saying that the tzaddikim's bodies eventually decay as well and become dust. Dichtiv, Yoshava Afra La'aretz Kishahoya, as the pasuk says, the dust returns to the earth as it was. And that applies to everybody, so even tzaddikim that happens to. So the Gemara tells a story in that connection. Hanuk Fuloi, there were these diggers, Gehavu Kafli Ba'ara Rav Nachman, that were digging in Rav Nachman's land. And they didn't realize that there was buried over there Rab Achi Bar Yoshia, who had lived a long time earlier. Rab Achi Bar Yoshia had lived in the times of Rebbe. He had lived in the times of Rebbe. Rab Nachman now is a few generations later, because he's in the middle of the times of the Amoraim. So you're talking maybe 80 or 100 years later. So nobody knew that he was buried over there. So they're digging over there. Nachu Bahu Rab Achi Bar Yoshia. Of Achaba Yoshia, who had already passed away, yelled at them from the grave. Also, Omer Leila Rav Nachman, Nachab on Gavra. So the diggers came and told Rav Nachman, somebody yelled at us out in the field. Also, Omer Leila Man Nihumar. So Rav Nachman realizes it must be obviously a tzaddik, who otherwise he wouldn't have that capability. So he goes and asks him, Rebbe, who are you? Omer Leila, I know Achoy Ba Yoshia. I'm Achoy Ba Yoshia. Amalei, so Rav Nachman says to him, "V'lab Amar Rav Mori Asidit Tzadiki Dehavu Afra." Didn't Rav Mori say that tzadikim are going to become dust? So how is your body still intact, such that you're able to yell at my workers? Well, fine, but the Gemara is assuming at this point, as we're going to see, that his body was still intact, but Gashmius as well. But wait, Amalei, so Rav Achaba Yoshia answers, "Mani Mori, Delo Yodina." Like, who is this Mori? I don't know him. In other words, very nice. He said something, and what does he mean to me? I don't know. I don't know that what he says is necessarily correct. Amalei, so Rav Nachman says, "Vakroksiv Yoshaval offer ala Eretz Kishahaya." Okay, but Mori is not just saying it on his own. He's saying a pasuk. So how do you understand the pasuk then? Amalei, so Rav Achaba Yoshia answers him, "The Akriach Kehelas le Akriach Mishle. Whoever taught you Kehelas never taught you Mishle." And in fact, Maharsha says, in a way, Mishle is more important. Everybody agrees that Mishle is, most Mishle and Kehelas were written by Shlomo, but there is an opinion in the Gemara that Kehelas is only Shlomo's personal Chochma, and it's not considered one of the Kisvei HaKodesh, and for example, it's not Matame Yesiadayim. It doesn't make a person's hands Tame, like all the Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, that's not the Halacha, but there is such an opinion, whereas by Mishle, there's no such opinion. So he's saying that you should be more familiar with Mishle, then it's a more important Sefer. And in Mishle it says, "Urakav atzmo iskina." There'll be decay of the bones of jealousy. Meaning, kol mish yeshloi kina b'libay. Anybody who has jealousy of other people, anybody who is jealous of other people's gashmias, atzmo isiv makivim. So his bones decay. B'chol kol she'ain loy kina b'libay. Somebody who doesn't have that kind of kina, who understands that everything he has is what's given to him by Hashem, and he's not jealous of what somebody else has. Ein atzmo isiv makivim. His bones don't decay. So I was like that. Therefore, my bones didn't decay. So what Rav Mori is saying and what the Pasuk is saying, okay, that refers to the average person, but not necessarily to tzaddikim. Well, the Gemara continues, Gashashay, Rav Nachman felt the body, chazia de isbe meshosha. And he felt there's actually substance there, meaning not just the bones are still intact, the flesh is still intact too. Again, this is, you know, you're talking 80 or 100 years or whatever after the Rav Achad bar Yoshia passed away, but even his flesh was still intact. Is it respectful to touch the mess? I don't know. No, the Pashas, the cave was underground, but yeah, I guess still there was, so he reached in. And the, I mean, the truth is, the Maharal actually says on this whole Gemara that the whole thing is derech moshel, that it means basically it's describing in these terms what Rab Nachman himself is thinking over what Rab Mori said, and is it correct and is it not, and then maybe there are exceptions, etc. But Marsha seems to take it pretty literally. Okay. So he felt it and felt that there was mamoshes to it. Amalei leikum ma'al agave debesa. So he says, Rebbe, come home to the house. Meaning, in other words, okay, Ben Yoyada says he knows there's not going to be tchias amesim until Moshiach comes, but at least don't stay over here where you're in the middle of my field and you see you were almost subjected to bizoyin by my workers. Come get up and then move someplace else and you'll be buried in a more covered dicker place. Actually, Marsha says, the vort is that Rav Nachman is saying to him, listen, up until now, I thought that you were only your bones were left, and your bones and your ruach, because you're speaking to me. Now I see your flesh is left. You have all three things. You have the bones, you have the flesh, and you have your ruach. So what are you still missing for Tchias HaMesim at this point? So you should be able to get up and come with me. Amalei, so Rav Achabar Yoshi says to him, Golis adaitach dafil nevi, like Carissa. By saying that, you've shown you haven't even learned Nevi'im. Forget about Mishle and Kehelas, which are from Ksuvim. Apparently, you haven't even learned Nevi'im. Dichtiv v'yadaitam ki ani Hashem, v'pischias kivrei seichem. The Pasuk says, you'll know that I'm Hashem when I open up your graves. And the Pasuk continues, of haloisi eschem v'kivrei seichem ami, when I take you out of your kvarim, my people, says Hashem. So therefore, until Hashem gets us out of our graves, we have no rishus to come out. I have my bones and my flesh and my ruach. Very nice, but I still need permission from Hashem to come out. So now Rab Nachman asks him, okay, never mind psukim from Nevi'im, and then never mind psukim from Nevi'im and Ksuvim. In the Torah it says, ki offer atavel offer toshuv. So what do we do with that? So Bapashtus, it applies to everybody. I mean, Hashem says it to Adam Arishin. So Bapashtus, it includes even Adam Arishin himself. So what do we do with that pasuk? Amalei, hahu shah achas kodim tchias emesim. That means a short time before tchias emesim, even the tzaddikim, whose bodies remain intact all that time, are going to return to dust, in order that then when Tchias HaMesim takes place, that it basically Tchias HaMesim has to be almost like Yesh Me'ayin. It's not completely, because you have the Etzem Luz, but it still has to be, it's a whole new Metzius. It's going to be a whole new Metzius, especially actually, according to, now you have a major well-known machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. What happens after Tchias HaMesim? The Rambam learns that there is going to be Tchias HaMesim, of course, it's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, but that's not the ultimate schar of the tzaddikim. Eventually, the Rambam learns they are going to pass away again, and then their neshamas are going to be enjoying Gan Eden, are going to be enjoying Olam Haba indefinitely. Whereas the Ramban learns that no, the neshamas are going to stay in the bodies, and they're going to have this ultimate schar over there. So, in fact, Chassidus learns like the Ramban. So, especially according to the Ramban then, and according to the way Chassidus understands it, that the goof itself is going to exist afterwards, after Tchias HaMesim, forever, and it's going to be a whole different level of goof, because you're going to have, it's going to be enjoying Olam Haba, then of course it has to be recreated, almost Yesh Me'ayin, and therefore it has to return to offer for the time being, for a short time, but that's going to be right before Tchias HaMesim. Meanwhile, all that time, Rav Achabar Yoshi is saying you can have tzaddikim whose bodies never decay. And yeah, by the way, different stories. There's a story involving Rabbi Lemelech Lezhensker, that the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, opened up his grave and found that his body was still intact, and they were so frightened that they ran off. It's brought about Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, that when not Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, it's brought about actually the Rebbe Rashab. They had to move his body 20 years after his Estalkus, because the Russians were going to pave over the cemetery or whatever over there, and the Rabbi Levik, who was still around at the time, gave them exact instructions what to do, and they opened it up, and they found that he was still intact. We have a number of different tzaddikim about which such things are told. Okay. Amalei ahu tzduki l'Rabba Bohu. A tzduki one time asked Rabba Bohu, Amritu nishmosen shal tzaddikim gnuzes tachas kisei hakavod. You say that as we said before in the Gemara, that the neshamas of tzaddikim are hidden under Hashem's kisei hakavod. So they have nothing to do with Olam Hazeh anymore. In that case, over Tamya, in that case, the balas oiv, who used bones, Rashi explains that Tamya is the Aramaic word for bones. So we know the famous story of Sheol and the witch, where Sheol is desperate, he needs information about what's going to happen, where he needs to ask what's going to happen before he goes to battle against the Plishtim. So the Nevi'im aren't answering, the Urim Tumim aren't answering, etc., and he winds up going to this Eshes Balas Oiv, and he has her bring up Shmuel's spirit through Kishuf. So in that case, over Tamya, Hecha asked her Shmuel ben Gida. So how was she able to bring up Shmuel with Kishuf if Shmuel's neshama is already under the Kisak covered? Kishuf is not going to have effect. Is not going to have effect up there. That was within 12 months after Shmuel had passed away. In fact, the Medrash says that Shol outlived Shmuel by only 4 months. So this was obviously within the 12 months. D'tanya, and we learn in a Braisa. Throughout the 12 months, a tzaddik's body is still intact, and its neshama is still able to freely go up and down. After 12 months, the guf generally is bottle. Again, we said there are exceptions, certain really high-level tzaddikim, whose guf still exists after that, but normally after 12 months, the guf is gone. As far as the neshama, it goes up to Shemayim and doesn't come back down again. Now, Tosfa says, you still have, for example, tzaddikim like Rav Achad bar Yoshia, who are able voluntarily to make it come down when they want. As we see over here, it was many years after Rav Achad bar Yoshia had passed away, and he still, his neshama came down and talked and yelled at the workers and talked with Rav Nachman. We're saying that it doesn't have the ability, you can't have a balas oiv, for example, can't bring down the neshama against its will after 12 months. Going back now to matters of Misa and Kvura, Omer of Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Meshmeda Rav, Nehespeder Shal Odom Nikarim Ben Ha'olam Habahu Imlav. Based on the hesped they make for a person, you can tell whether he's a Ben Ha'olam Haba. Because if he was an Odom Kosher, Rashi says, if it was an Erlich Hayid, then everybody cries for him and tells good things about him, and that shows that he's a Ben Ha'olam Haba. Marsha, I think it is, says, the vote is also, sometimes you have, when a person is alive, people may say shvachim about him, even if they're not true, because people flatter him. The Gemara says in Sota that we have a big problem, even in the times of the Gemara, where people flatter each other, but after 120, after he passes away, nobody's going to do that. So then they're telling me, then if they're saying good things about him, it must indeed be the truth. So the Gemara, So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? That based on the hesped, you can tell, and based on whether people cry for him, you can tell whether he's a ben olam haba. V'ha'omalei Rav l'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas. We find that Rav himself said to Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, the father of the Rabbi Yehuda, Breder Rav Shmuel bar Shilas that we're talking about, he says to him, Achim behespeda, warm up the people with the hesped. In other words, work hard on my hesped, that people should be, that people's emotions should be aroused. Because I will be standing over there and listening, my neshama, in other words, will be standing over there and listen how you do it. So you see that Rav is having to tell Rav Shmuel bar Shilas to make sure to work the crowd and then get them and get them to cry. Rav is obviously a ben olam haba. Why does he need that? We said mespeda shalodim nicker. You should be able to tell by itself they should be crying. Why does he need to tell Rav Shmuel bar Shilas to work so hard on it? The answer is like Kasha, Hodem Chamul Leva Achim, Hodem Chamul Leva Lei Achim. It depends. When we say that depending on the hesped, you can tell if a person has a ben olam haba. Sure, you still need somebody to arouse everybody's emotions, because not so easy. Especially Rashi says, they have a person is old. You have, for example, Rav lived a long life. When a person like that passes away, people in a way, you know, it's not natural necessarily. It's not instinctive, rather, that people are going to be so sad. Because look, you know, he lived a long time. You know, so therefore, they're not going to be so upset about it. So therefore, you do need to warm them up. You do need to heat up their emotions and say a hesped like that. But if you do that, if you do that, and indeed it works, and they take a cry, then it shows that he's a ben olam haba. As opposed to you work hard, and even then the people don't cry, then there's something the matter over here, because you worked on trying to get them to cry, and they still didn't. Then it shows that maybe he's not such a great guy after all. What it means over here, dehasam ke'imna, that I'm standing over there, the Shalach Kodesh says on it a vote, besides the simple meaning that Rav is saying, I'm going to be standing there and I'm going to be listening, he says it also means that make sure you're not maspid more than where I'm standing. Because the din is, in fact, when you're saying a hespid on a person, you're allowed to exaggerate a little bit, but you're not supposed to exaggerate way more than what the person did. Because then they bring the person to account in front of the base in Tramila. You talk and they're saying such and such things about you, and you're didn't happen. So he's warning him to be careful not to over exaggerate. We don't say hespedim by the levaya, maybe taka because of that reason, because we're afraid that you might end up exaggerating and it's not really so good for the neshama. Why is Rav care that they make a hesped for him and that he should work hard on it, etc.? One reason is because by the fact that people cry for him, first of all, we learned earlier in the Masechta, it's a schus for a person when he cries, when an Adam Kosher passes away, it protects, we said, that his children won't pass away, a young Rahman al-Tzlan, but also, like this, it helps them learn from his Maisim Tovim. And in fact, about Rav specifically, it says, we learned this, we touched on this a couple of weeks ago, that Rav had 10 good midas tovus, and each of his talmidim, 10 of his great talmidim, each one of them took on one of these midas. So that was all, that kind of thing was accomplished by a hesped, where they talk about his various milas, and people are motivated to try and do the same. Okay. Omale Abaye l'Rabba, kegoin mar desonule kulu pumpadisai. So Abaye asked Rabba, what do we do about you, Rebbe? All the people of Pumpadissa hate you. Now, why is that? Rashi says the people of many of the people of Pumpadissa were cheaters and swindlers. So they and Rabba, being the local Rosh Hashiva, used to give them Musa about it. So they didn't like him. In fact, you have a Gemara the famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, where eventually somebody mastered on Rabba that he's keeping many Jews from away from work and away from paying taxes or whatever for 2 months a year, the months of Yachikala, Adar and Elul, and then the result of it was Rabba had to run away and he passed away in the forest over there, the whole story. So you see that Rabba had major enemies over there. So Abaye is asking, so everybody in Pumbedissa hates you. By the way, Abaye himself says a line in a different Gemara, I think in Ksubas, Abaye himself says a line that if the people in town love their Rav, you should know. It doesn't mean he's such a great guy. It means he's not doing a good job mussering them in matters of Yiras Shemayim. So he says to Rabba, so everybody over here hates you, man achem espeda. So who's going to warm up the crowd? Who's going to get the crowd to feel bad and to cry when you pass away? So therefore he answers, Amale mistaya at Rabba bar Rachanan. It'll be enough that you and Rabba bar Rachanan do that. If you who are my two closest talmidim, if you cry for me, then that'll, and then you make a hesped for me, that'll be quite enough, even if the other people in town don't care. Maybe they did make a hesped. Actually, you have that same Gemara in Bava Metzia tells how they went out to the forest. They found Rabba's body over there, and then they were making a hesped. They were making a hesped, and actually a note fell down from Shemayim. It says over there in the Gemara, and says to them, "You better keep on at it. If you stop at this point, the world is going to be destroyed because you haven't done enough for the covet of the tzaddik." And so they ended up making a full avelos of 7 days over there, and then finally they got another note from Shemayim, said, "Okay, you did your job. You can go home peacefully now." Yeah. It's in Bava Metzia, in Perek HaSechor HaPoelim. Okay. Bomenei Rabbi Loza Meirav, Ezehu Ben HaOlam Haba. Same question. Who is a Ben HaOlam Haba? Amalei, so he answers him with an expression from a pasuk. Va'oznecha tishmana dover me'acharecha leimer. Your ears will hear a word from behind you. Behind you meaning after a person passes away, after 120. If your ears hear a word saying, lemer, saying, zeh haderech l'chuboy, this way that this nifter went in is the way to go properly, kisamino v'chisasmilu, whether you're talking to the right or to the left, if you hear something like that in your hesped, if you hear something like that in a person's hesped, you know that he's a ben olam haba, if they hold him up as a model for other people to follow. Rav Chanina Omer Kol Shadas Rabboisav Noichehemen. Rav Chanina gives a different answer. Anybody whose rebbes are happy with him, they hear about what he does, they see what he does, and they're pleased with what they hear and what they see, then you know he's a Ben Olam Haba. Okay. going back to, so since we're talking about Hesped, so going back also to those Psukim in Keheles, where we were listing over there, where Shlomo is listing the various things that happen shortly before a person passes away, and then afterwards, the Pasuk says, V'savav v'shuk ha-softim. The Pasuk says, the softim, the mourners, are going to be circling around, are going to be circulating around in the marketplace. The softim, the ones, the mourners, the ones who are mourning and saying a Hesped for the person. So what does that mean? Bnei Galila Amri, the people of Galil, said what the Pasuk is saying is, Asei dvarim lifnei mitoscha. Do the kind of things that you're going to want them to say before your mitzvah, before your coffin, by the Hesped. So make sure during your lifetime that you're doing the kind of things that you would want when your neshama is standing there, that you would want to hear in your own Hesped. The people of Yehuda said it means say things that you want them to say behind your mitzvah. And the Gemara says, "V'loy pligi," they're not actually arguing. Mar ki asri. There were different minhagim. In the Galil, it used to be that the mourners and the people who are giving the hesped and whatever would walk in front of the mitzvah. In Yehuda, they would walk behind it. So therefore, just means where are they actually standing when they actually say the hesped. So we learn in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Misasach. Rabbi Eliezer says one of the three things. It says each of the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai in Perek Beis and Pirkei Avos, each of them had three famous statements that he said. One of Rabbi Eliezer's is V'shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Misasach. Return, do tshuva one day before you die. So the Gemara expands. Shalosh Talmidim Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer's Talmidim asked him. So how is a person supposed to know what day he's going to die that he should do tshuva before that? So that's the point. Because of that, because a person doesn't know when he's going to die, Yashuv Hayom, you should do tshuva today. Shema Yomos Lamocha, because he might die unexpectedly tomorrow. But Nimtza Kol Yom B'Tshuva. So this way, if he goes through life with that mentality, his whole life he'll be doing tshuva. The Af Shlomo Omer B'Chachmasa, and thus we find that Shlomo says in his Chachma elsewhere in Sefer Keheles, he says, "B'chol eis yubagadecha levanim, your clothes should always be white." Meaning, like the metaphor we had yesterday about the neshama being clothing that the king gives out to his servants, and we said the wise ones fold them up and put them away nicely. The foolish ones do work in it and get it all dirty, and then it needs to go to the washing machine, etc. So your clothes should always be white, meaning your neshama. The shemen al roshcha al yachser, and there should never be oil lacking on your head. Which we have, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, first in Perek Lamed Hey, and then the Alter Rebbe takes it up again in Perek Nun Aleph, about why it is that the brings from the Zohar, that mitzvahs are compared to oil, and the Alter Rebbe explains over there at great length why it is that mitzvahs are compared to oil, and the neshama is compared to a candle with a wick, basically because the mitzvahs are rots and elyon, and therefore the body itself, even the neshama itself, even though the neshama is chelek alakami mal mamash, can't be bottled telekus without that oil, which is the mitzvahs, which themselves are rots and alien, etc., etc. Amr Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, Moshel HaMelech Shezimen Asavad of Lasoda. It's like a moshel of a king who invited his servants to a party, but like Kavala Hemzman, but he didn't tell them when the party is going to take place. So the smart ones dress themselves up nicely and sit there waiting by the king's door. Amru, because they say, look, I mean, the king's household isn't lacking anything. He could pull together the party very, very quickly, and we better be ready. The foolish people just go do their regular work, ignoring the fact that there's going to be a party. Okay, we'll have time to get dressed later. The nimshal being, in other words, that tzaddikim, as we're saying, realize that at any moment they might be summoned in front of the Beis Din Shamayla. Whereas the rishayim figure, okay, you know, I'll do tshuva later on when I get old. I'm still going to live a long time. Omru, so they say to themselves, Klum yash suda b'lo terach. After all, a suda takes time to prepare. So it's not like we're all of a sudden going to unexpectedly get an invitation. It takes time to pull these things together. B'pisa and b'kesh ha-melech ha-savadav. So all of a sudden, unexpectedly, the king calls in the servants to the party. Pichen shebehen nechnosa l'fon of chen mekushotim. So the smart ones come in already dressed up and ready for the party. V'atipshim nechnosa l'fon of chen mekushotim. The foolish ones come in all dirty because they taka didn't have a chance to get to take a shower and get dressed and whatever. So the king is happy to see the smart ones, and he's angry about the foolish ones. Omar, he says, halola shekishtu esatzman lasoda, the ones, the first group that dress themselves up properly for the party, yeshu v'yechlu v'yishtu, they can sit and eat and drink and enjoy the party. Halalu shalakishtu atzman lasoda. The other group that didn't bother dressing up for the party, yamdu v'yiru, they can just stand there and watch how the first group sits and eats and drinks. The nimshal is obvious. However, chasonei shel Rav Meir mishum Rav Meir amar. However, Rav Meir's son-in-law says in the name of Rav Meir, That's not the right mashal that the second group is going to be standing there and watching. If they're standing over there, they look like they belong there. They look like they're the waiters at the party. So then it's not just such a gnai to them that they're not eating. Okay, I mean, the waiters are, you know, you still need waiters by the party. So therefore, it makes it look like they're just the waiters. It doesn't look like such a gnai for them. Well, waiters would be dressed more nicely, fine. But on the other hand, you know, still, it's not so obvious at first glance, let's say. Ella, so rather, Rav Meir learns differently. Elu v'elu yoshvin, both groups are actually going to be sitting over there in the Suda, in Gan Eden. Halolo oichlin v'halolo re'evin, but the first group are actually going to be eating. The second group are going to be sitting there hungry. Halolo shoysin v'halolo tzmein, the first group are going to be drinking. The second group are going to be sitting there thirsty. So it's a bigger gnai for them that they're sitting there and they have all the food and drink in front of them and they can't enjoy it. And the nimshal as they have elakur, they have an understanding of elakur in front of them and they're not able to reach it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Koyamar Hashem, so says Hashem, Hinei avodo yechelu v'atem tiravu, behold, my servants will eat, and you will be hungry. Hinei avodo yishtu v'atem pitzmo, my servants will drink, and you'll be thirsty. Hinei avodo yoronu mitruvlev, my servants will sing from goodness of heart, from happiness of heart. V'atem titzaku mikevlev, and you, the ones who didn't reach that level, are going to be crying out from heartache. That you realize now, you realize what you could have had, and now it's in Gan Eden, and it's too late to have it. Dover, Acha, another explanation. Especially the Gemara wanted to finish the Perek on a nice note. So we quoted before the pasuk b'chol ha'isiyu b'gadech levanim. So another pshat in that pasuk b'chol ha'isiyu b'gadech levanim elu tzitzis. This refers to a person should wear tzitzis, where you have Rashi says the beged is white. Marsha says the vort is because you have tzitzis are supposed to have tcheles and lavan, but you can't always have tcheles. Like nowadays we don't have tcheles because we don't know what the chilazin is, but lavan you can always have. So at least you have the opportunity to do the mitzvah of lavan. Then at least you need to be doing that. The shemen al rosh chal yachzer elu tefillin. When the pasuk continues, there should never be oil lacking on your head, refers to the tefillin shel rosh. What does tefillin shel rosh have to do with oil? Rashi explains, based on another pasuk in Kehelas, toiv shem mishemen toiv. A good name is better than good fragrant oil, and the name and tefillin are associated with the name of Hashem. Ki shem Hashem nikra alecha. So therefore, tefillin are associated with oil. And Marshall says again, the vort is, even though we know that, for example, when it comes, even though we know you're supposed to put on tefillin shel yad before tefillin shel rosh, but what's the halacha if you don't have the tefillin shel yad, or if you can't put them on for whatever reason? Let's say a person has his arm in a cast or whatever, so you put on only the tefillin shel rosh. So that should always be al yechsa, no matter what. Always keep whatever part of the mitzvah you can, whether it's only the lavan from the tzitzis or whether it's only the shel rosh from the tefillin. At least do that. The apostle Shlomo is telling you. Okay, Hadron Alach Shoyl. Okay, we come now to the last perek of Shabbos, the 24th perek. It's brought in a number of Sfarim, beginning from the times of the Arizal, that There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that mentions 24 ornaments that Kalos would wear in those days. And corresponding to that, Shabbos Hamalka, has 24 ornaments, which are the 24 prakim of Masechta Shabbos. Okay, so the Mishnah starts off. Misha hechshich baderech. If a person was traveling on the road and it became dark, Shabbos started, and what does he do? He has his wallet with him, he has his other things with him. He can't carry them on Shabbos. The din is noisin kisei lenochri. He has to give his wallet to a goy to take into the city for him. Now, usually you're not even allowed to tell a goy to do something like that for you on Shabbos. So we'll see in the Gemara why the Chachamim gave the heter. The Rashi over here learns, that it would dafka mean you have to tell the goy mibo'od yoim. You can't first tell him on Shabbos to take it because that would be more of an iser. Many other Rishonim learn that it's not so, that you could give it to him. The Rashba and other Rishonim learn that you could give it to him even after Shabbos started. And you have some Mephoshim say that maybe even Rashi would agree that b'dieved, you could do that if you didn't have a chance to give it to him mibo'od yoim. If there's no goy with him, then what you do is you put the wallet on the animal, on the donkey that you have carrying your stuff. Now, normally you have, there's a din, there's an issur on Shabbos, we're going to learn about it in all the days, called mechamer acha behemta. You're not allowed to lead an animal that's carrying something on Shabbos, because then the animal is doing malacha for you on Shabbos. Again, here they were matir it, as we're going to see in the Gemara one. Right? There are actually two different isurim involved. There's an isur of the animal itself doing malacha, because the pasuk says you have to have shvisas behemtecha, ato vincho vitecha, etc. Behemtecha, and you also have an isur of mechamer. So why are we're going to be focusing, the issue of mechamer is to lead an animal and make it go while it's carrying something for you. So you have an issue for it to be carrying something for you, b'chlal, and then you have an issue to make it go while it's carrying the thing. So the Gemara over here is going to be focusing more on the issue of mechamer, and there's a few reasons for that. One of them has to do with that shvisas behemtei only applies if it's your animal. Mechamer, there's different opinions among Rishonim. Many of them say that it applies to somebody else's animal as well. Another reason is because shvisas behemte is only an esse, whereas mechamer is a lois esse. In fact, we're going to deal with tomorrow. We're going to learn in the Gemara about an opinion that maybe even it's an issur d'oraisa and would be like any other malacha of Shabbos, where the person would be chayv chatas or skila for it. We'll talk about that. Okay. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. And we'll see in the Gemara how you work it when you're putting it on the animal, that you don't have an actual malacha, that you don't have a kirav hanocha involved over here. So the Mishnah continues, once you reach the first chotzer in town, so now it's safe to leave your stuff there until after Shabbos, so now you have no more heter to have the animal carry it for you, or to carry anything else that you had with you. So now at this point, you take off the animal any kelim that are not mukta. You don't leave them on the animal for the rest of Shabbos because it would be tzar bala chayim. So whichever ones are not mukta, you take off the animal directly. The ones that are on the animal that are mukta, matra chavolim, what you do is you untie the ropes, and the bags just fall down onto the ground on their own. And we'll see in the Gemara, we'll talk about tomorrow, Bez Hashem, what happens if you have fragile things in those bags. What do you do then? Okay. So the Gemara starts off, my time is shorter later upon the base of Kisei the Nochri. Why do the Chachamim allow you to give your money bag to the Goy? Doch, isn't he acting as your Shliach to carry it for you on Shabbos? Now, you usually have, by the way, we usually say a Goy is not able to be a Shliach for Yid. For example, to take Truma, as we're going to talk about on Omid Beis, or to deliver a Get, or any of the other things for which you need shlichus. But many Rishonim say what the Gemara means over here is l'chumra, we do consider the goy to be your shliach. So when you're telling him to carry the thing, then you're having him be your shliach. In other words, again, according to Rashi that we're talking about, that you give it to him before Shabbos, it's not a matter of amir l'akum, because you're telling him before Shabbos to take it. Amir l'akum would only be a problem if you're telling him on Shabbos. But according to Rashi, the problem is that he's your shliach. Again, according to the other Rishonim who learn that you could even tell him on Shabbos, then the question is on the grounds of Amir Olam. Okay. The answer is Kimlu L'Rabbanon, because the Rabbanon know for a fact the Einu Mamid Atzmal Mamonah. A person is not going to hold himself back when his money is involved. He's not going to hold himself back and not save his money. Therefore, Ilay Shoris Slay. So if you don't allow him to do anything at all, he's going to wind up carrying it himself, and he may wind up carrying it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. So in order to avoid that issu, which would be an issu d'oraisa, the Chum allowed him to give it to the goy before Shabbos or on Shabbos. By the way, you have the Rishonim talk about over here, the Ramban, the Rashba, that, you know, we've had this concept in on a Mamid Atzma Mamone before in connection with a fire. And there we actually said the other way around. There we don't say that we're going to allow him to save whatever he wants. There, Fakert, we had very strict rules of what he's allowed to save, because we said otherwise he may come to put out the fire. So why over here are we saying the other way around, that we allow him to give it to the goy? So one distinction, the Ramban points out a distinction, that whether it's biyadai or not. Are you talking about something which is right now in his hands or not? His money bag is actually in his hands right now. And if you don't allow him to give it to a goy, he's going to wind up carrying it himself, as opposed to his things that are in his house are not in his hand right now. So therefore, the Chachamim made different rules over there and said, adaraba, if you allow him to take whatever he wants, then he's going to forget it's Shabbos and put out the fire altogether. Okay. Omar Rava, Davka Kisoy. So Rava says this heter to give it to a guy, Davka applies to his money bag, because it's money that he worked hard for. So therefore he's not gonna, if you don't allow him to give it to a guy or put it on the animal, then he's gonna wind up carrying it himself. Ava Mitsia Loy, but not if he found, for example, he found a bag of money in the street, then you don't allow him to give it to the guy and bring home for Shabbos. Because after all, he didn't work that hard for it. So if he's not able, if you don't allow him to carry it, he's not with a chacham, don't feel that he's gonna be that he's gonna want it so badly that he's gonna take it, that he's gonna take it home. So he must have pshita kisaitan. Of course you can't do that with a mitsia. It's the Mishnah had said kisai dafka. If it meant mitsia, it could have said mitsia. The answer is Ma'u de Tema Hu Adina Filimatsia. No, because if you didn't have Rava saying it, you might have thought that actually the same din does apply to a Matsia. Bahai de Katani Kisa Urcha de Milsa Katani. The only reason why it mentions a money bag is because the normal situation, it's more typical that a person has his money bag with him when Shabbos begins and he's on the road, more so than a Matsia, which is not a very common thing. Kamash Malon. So therefore, Rava wants us to know that no, the Mishnah is not just using Kisei as a typical example. The Mishnah is actually using Kisei as an absolute thing. Oh, this din only applies to Kisei, but not to a Metzia. Now continues Rava, though this din only, this that we're saying, a difference between a Metzia and his money bag is only if he didn't already get the Metzia, if he didn't already pick it up before Shabbos. But once it got into his hands already, once he picked up the Matsya before Shabbos, then it's already considered his, and then it has the same din as Kisei. Ikadamri, another version of it goes, not that, so this was all one version that Rava made a statement that it applies only to Kisei, but not to a Matsya. The second version is Ikadami Boi Rava, that Rava asked it as a question. Mitsia Bala Yode Mahu, what would be the din when a Mitsia comes to his hand before Shabbos begins? And now on Shabbos he has it with him, but what is he gonna do with it on the road? Kibin to Osil Yode Kikise Dami, do we say because once he got it in his hand, then it's already considered like his own money, and therefore he's allowed to use the heter of giving it to a guy? Or maybe not, since it's not something that he was tereach in, then it's not considered like his kis. And according to that version, teku, that Rava leaves the question unresolved. So the poskim say you can be makel a little bit in it because it is only a din d'rabbanan on this that we're saying that you can't give it to the guy. So therefore, the Rambam in fact learns actually that we're going to talk about on Omud Beis. We're going to talk about on Omud Beis. You have a heter if there's no guy and no animal or whatever, then you're allowed to carry it. Pachas midal ramas. The Rambam learns that applies to a metziah as well. All the other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam on that and say that no, when we're talking about over here in the Gemara and saying that it can apply to a Metzia, that's talking about giving it to a guy or putting it on the animal or whatever, but not you yourself carrying it, pachas midal amas, where there's a very high likelihood that you might mistakenly carry it for amas yourself. And which the Gemara is going to say on Omer Beis, that the Chachamim didn't even want to reveal that heter to begin with. Okay. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, by the way, where you have in a number of places in Shas, there's someone named Isu Giyora. The story with him was, he was a goy. So actually what happened was he and his fellow goyim took Shmuel's daughter as captive. He raped one of them and she became pregnant. Later on, he became a ger. I don't know if it says whether they got married or not, but the son is the Amora called in a number of places in Shas, Rav Mori Bar Rochel. Or in some places called Amori Brod Bas Shmuel. So he's not called after his father because his father was a goy when he was conceived. So he's not considered to be related to him in halacha. But the biological father, eventually became a ger himself before the baby was born. And he was called Isu Giyora. So he says in a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, he says, I used to think that you, before when I was a goy, I used to think that you Jews break Shabbos all the time. Because after all, we always see in cities like Mechuzah and whatever, where there are lots of Jews, you never see any lost money bags in the street on Shabbos for very long. So they're probably taking them home. So that means they're being Mechal Shabbos. Until then, he says, when I became a Yid, then I understood that there are Haterim involved over here where you can tell a goy or carry it, Pachas Midal Ramas or whatever. No, but the point is, in other words, it's a natural thing that some people lose in a large city like Mechuzah or whatever. It's natural that some people are going to lose their money bags, or some goyim are going to be walking around and losing money bags over Shabbos. And then you come by a while later and you don't see it over there. So since the town is mostly Jews, so he says you would have to assume that Jews pick it up on Shabbos, and then he realizes afterwards when he became a Yid, he learned that the Torah had tayed him, as we're saying here in the Gemara. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, "Eini meinochri." We said if there's no goy with you, then you put the money bag on the donkey and have the donkey carry it. So the Gemara says, "Taima de eini meinochri." Okay, so the implication is, why are you allowed to put it on the animal? Because there's no goy, so you have no choice. Ha yeshi meinochri the nochri yovle, implying that if there's a goy with you, you have to give it to the goy. That's more, you have to do that rather than putting it on the animal. My timer. That why is that? The reason is chamur atamat suval shvisase. Because after all, the donkey, the animal, you have a mitzvah for it to rest on Shabbos. Ato vincha ovetecha, etc. ovehemtecha. Nochri iatam mitzvah al shvisase. As opposed to the goy, you don't have a mitzvah in the Torah to make sure that he rests on Shabbos. So therefore, better you should give it to him. Okay. A slave would be osir, because actually a slave, you have the same problem. Your mitzvah al shvisase. So you have the same problem as with a chamer. Right. Okay. What about chamur v'cheresh shoyter v'katan? What if you have with you a donkey and you have a cheresh or shoyter or katan? Which one should you put the wallet on? So a chamur manach le cheresh shoyter v'katan lo yoyvle. You have to put it on the donkey. You can't give it to the cheresh shoyter v'katan. My timer, hani odom, hani lab odom. Because after all, the cheresh shoyter v'katan, it's true they're not chayev in mitzvahs, but after all, they are people. And in particular, Rashi says, people who see you doing that, or you yourself who are doing that, might get confused and think that it's mutter to give it to any yid. And they're not going to realize this guy is a cheresh or shoyter or katan. As opposed to the animal, it's obvious that it's an animal. What about hani lav adam, as opposed to the animal, is not a person. What about cheresh for shoyter? What if you have with you a cheresh and a shoyter? Cheresh, as usual in Shas, means somebody who can't speak and can't hear. So throughout Shas, we always assume that such a person does not have full das. And nowadays that they're able to learn sign language, there's a big debate among the poskim achronim. Many of them say that, in fact, he doesn't have the status of a person who can speak in sign language. Taka does not have the status of a cheresh in halacha. Anyway, but if you have a cheresh and a shoyter, which one should you give the wallet to? L'shoyter, then you should give it to the shoyter, because the shoyter has no das at all, as opposed to the cheresh has a little bit of das. Okay, what about shoyter v'katan? L'shoyter. What if you have a shoyter and a katan? Then give it to the shoyter because for one thing, the katan is eventually going to grow up. And then he's going to eventually grow up. And then he might get used to this kind of thing. When I was a kid, I carried a wallet for somebody on Shabbos, and now I can do the same thing. By the way, you have some of the posts can talk about what if it's your own child? You have a mitzvah of chinuch with him. So are you able to give it to him or not? Maybe not, because you're not actually giving him the dvar isser. I mean, the wallet itself is mukta, but that's a din d'rabbanon. But as far as the carrying, he's doing it himself. So maybe there's more reason to be matur it. Maybe it's not considered. Now the din is we learned earlier in the Masechta, if anybody other than the child's father is not obligated to make sure that he doesn't do averis. For the child's father has a mitzvah of chinuch, but you're not allowed to give him a dvar isur b'yadayim. Like we talked about earlier in the Masechta, for example, to give him tray for food, you're not allowed to do that. But here, you're giving him the wallet, he himself is carrying it on his own, so maybe therefore it's not considered a dvar isur. Okay. So iboilahu cheresh for cotton mai. So we have a question, what about if you have a cheresh and a cotton, which one should you give it to? So the Gemara says, "Alibad Rabbi Eliezer loyti boiloch." If you're talking according to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, then there's no question that the cheresh, that you don't give it to the cheresh, because the cheresh actually has a certain amount of das. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Rabbi Yitzchok Oimer Meshum Rabbi Eliezer, Trumas Cheresh. If a cheresh gives truma from somebody's produce, from his own or somebody else's, loy teitzil chulin, that truma cannot become chulin, meaning it is truma to the extent that zorim are not allowed to eat it. You still have to take proper truma again from the produce, because he doesn't have the das to take truma properly. Mipnei was suffic, because it's a suffic, whether he has proper das or not. So therefore, better you should give it to the katan, who definitely is not chayiv in mitzvahs, as opposed to the cheresh, who might or might not be. So the question is, according to the Rabbanon, who say that he doesn't have clear das at all. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Masechta Trumas, Chamisha lo yitrimu. There are five kinds of people who are not able to take truma. V'im tomu ein trumas in truma. And if they do, the truma is not considered truma. Elohein, cheresh shoyter v'katan. The fourth one is Vaturta Mr. Anishaloy. If somebody takes truma from produce that's not his without permission of the balabas, so then it's not considered truma. And the fifth one, Vinochli Shatara Mastra Israel Afilabishose. The fifth one is if a goy takes truma from a yid's produce, even if the yid gave him permission. In truma, say truma, the truma is not valid truma because you have to have it's somebody who has the din of shlichus, and a goy is not considered a shliach in halacha. Okay, so therefore, so according to that, so according to the chachamim, it's not considered truma at all, even misafik, meaning that they consider that the cheresh has no das at all. So now, now you have the question: what's the din? L'cheresh yohiv lei de katan osi l'chal das. Do we say give it to the cheresh because, after all, the katan eventually is going to become a gadol? He's going to eventually have das, as opposed to the cheresh under normal circumstances is never going to have is never going to have das. So the cheresh is never going to have das. So maybe therefore better you should give it to him. Dumal katan yohiv lei de cheresh osi l'chlofi begadol. Or maybe you should give it to the cotton because the cheresh, people may not realize that he's a cheresh. They may think that he's a regular, normal gadol, and they're going to think you're allowed to give it to an adult on Shabbos. So maybe, therefore, better you should give it to the cotton. So what's the din? Some say you give it to the cheresh, some say you give it to the cotton, and that's taka how the halacha is paskin. Then in that case, you have your choice. You can give it to either one. You can give it to either one. Now, Tosfos learns on Amud Aleph that in the case of the cotton as well, you would have to be, as the Gemara is going to say soon about the animal, that what you have to do is you have to put it on the animal while the animal is walking and take it off before the animal stops. So that way there's no akira v'hanocha. So Tosfos says you would have to do the same thing with the cotton either, which is another reason to say, we were just talking about the question, how are you allowed to give it to him? Isn't it giving him an isur b'yadayim? So Tosfos learns it's not, because you're doing the same kind of thing. You're never having him actually do the akira and the hanocha of it. So therefore, it's only an isur d'rabbanan, and that's not considered that you're not allowed to give him b'yadayim. So that's the thing. You put it on him and you take it off him before and after he stops. Before he stops, you take it off him and hold it while he stops. And then when he starts walking again, then you put it back on him. I was going to say that soon with an animal. And Tosfos learns that the same thing is true with the cotton, that you would have to do the same kind of thing. Other Rishonim disagree with that and say with the cotton, you don't need to do that. Because again, it's not considered giving him an isu b'yadayim. Okay. Okay, what about, continues the Gemara, Einsham, by the way, it also mentions in Shulchan Aruch that all of these dinim only apply if it was a situation of oinus. He was on a trip, he didn't manage to make it back home before Shabbos, and he has his money bag with him, and he has his other stuff with him, and what is he supposed to do? On the other hand, it says in Shulchan Aruch, a person left shortly before Shabbos, knowing that there's a good chance he's not going to make it in time, then we don't have any such a tatum. Then he just has to leave his wallet in the street if necessary, because that was his carelessness. And the Dalton Rebbe goes on to talk about what happens if a person had his money bag on his belt and forgot about it, forgot that it was there before Shabbos. What are the do we allow him these atayim or not? Because on the one hand he forgot, and on the other hand he should have checked his belt before Shabbos. All right. So the question is, Ein sham loy nochri v'loy chamor v'loy cheresh v'loy shotin v'loy shoyter v'loy cotton mai? What if you have no goy, no donkey, no cheresh, no shoyter, no cotton? What do you do with your money bag? You should know there was another heter, there's another takana that the chachamim have, how to save your money bag. The chachamim did not want to reveal it. My oida cheres hoisa, what is that oida cheres? That is melichi pachas pachas midal amas, that you're able to carry it less than 4 amas at a time. So why did the Chacham not want to reveal it? Because as the Pasuk says, the honor of Hashem is to hide certain things, and the honor of kings is to search out and to reveal things. So in other words, the kings are the Chachamim. So the honor of Hashem is done by hiding certain dinim and not teaching them to people, because it's going to cause people to be careless, and it's going to cause people to be careless. So v'hochamai kvoid alekim yeka. What is the kvoid alekim that you have over here? So that is duma osil asui dalad amas b'shus rabim. Because you might come to carry it 4 amas in b'shus rabim. And then you're going to be over on Isur D'oraisa. So therefore, originally the Chachamim preferred to keep it secret. So then, in that case, how is Rabbi Yitzchak coming and giving us the secret? So one explanation, so it says one explanation in one of the Mephoshim called Chodesh Aviv is, he says, because the Chacham didn't want to put it in the Mishnah because everybody learns the Mishnah. Even people who are not of the caliber to be learning Gemara and passing in Halacha and whatever still learn Mishnayos, and they're going to hear this Heter and then they're going to start getting careless with carrying on Shabbos. But to mention it in the Gemara, that the Chacham didn't mind doing. Well, it's also the last place where we could put it. That's true. Yeah. Okay. Tanya, this that we're saying that the Chum gave a heter to give the wallet to a guy, we learned in the first perek of Amasechta that this was one of the 18 gzeiros that they made boy by yoy. We had over there where they gathered in the attic of Hananiah and Chizkiah and Gora, and he was sitting over there and trying to work out the Psukim and Yechezko, because some of them contradict the Torah, and Bishamai and Bishola gathered there, and he had a majority of Bishamai, and they made 18 gzeiros. So one of those gzeiros was this din, that instead of carrying it, pachas medalat amas, if there's a goy there, you should give it to the goy. So now the Gemara is going to discuss, was that the right thing to do? Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Boibayim, God, true saw. So Rabbi Eliezer says, on that day, they overfilled the saw, meaning like the metaphor is like when you're measuring out a saw of grain and you give an extra amount, you heap up the measure, it's a good thing, you're getting extra. So the same thing Rabbi Eliezer is saying over there, this was a good takona, this was a good gzera for them to make, and that you shouldn't carry it, pachas, midalabamas, that you should give it to the good. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm a Rabbi Yemachkusa. Rabbi Yeshua says, actually, on that day, it's more like they reduce the amount that was supposed to be in the saw. They like when you give a saw and you just measure it out exactly. So in other words, Rabbi Yeshua says that was too far a gzera. It's too hard to be to be able to keep that gzera. People are gonna end up. I have a goy with me, but I can't trust him. So I'm not gonna give him my money back, and he may just take it and run off. I'm gonna carry it myself, and then he might end up carrying it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua is saying it would have been better if they had left the din the way it was originally, whereas like this, a person is more likely to be mechal Shabbos. In fact, by the way, Rabbi Eliezer is from Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yeshua is from the Talmudim of Beis Hillel. So since we said these Takonis were from Beis Shammai, then naturally Rabbi Eliezer is going to say it was a good thing and Rabbi Yeshua not. Although Tosfos actually learns differently, that Tosfos learns that Rabbi Yeshua is actually saying Rabbi Yeshua does agree that it was a good gzera. So both of them are agreeing that it was a good gzera, but they're both talking about it in different ways. Rabbi Eliezer is talking about it's good in terms of like they added extra to the measure, and Rabbi Yeshua is saying they did exactly what they needed to. Tanya, Moshel the Rabbi Eliezer Lamar Davadoyma. Rabbi Eliezer is saying like they overfilled the saw. What is that like? Lekupa Malaya Kishurinid Loin. Imagine you have a basket full of pumpkins or cucumbers. Adam, you have a lot of space between the fruits. Adam Noisin Lasecha Chardol. You can put some mustard seeds into the basket. Vihimachzekas, and it'll be able to fit them because there's still plenty of room in there between the fruits. And in fact, one of the Mephoshim says, the vote is also, when you put those in, it means you also, those that you put in a lot of mustard seeds, it'll cushion all the spaces between the big fruits and keep them from getting bruised. So the same way, this gzera that they made over here helps keep dinim d'oraisa from being violated. So it was a good thing. Marshal Rabbi Yeshua Lamar Davadoyma. On the other hand, when Rabbi Yeshua is saying that it wasn't such a good thing, according to Rashi, what is it like? V'arevim le'ed dvash. It's like a vat full of honey. If you then start putting pomegranates and nuts and walnuts into the vat, into the container, it's gonna spill out all the honey that was in there. So the same way Rabbi Yeshua is saying, like this was like putting too much in there, and now it's starting to spill out. Now you're losing all the honey that you had there before. Again, that's according to Rashi that Rabbi Yeshua is criticizing it. According to Tosfos, Rabbi Yeshua is not criticizing it. He's saying that according to Tosfos, when they made the gzera, that they made the two gzeras at the same time, that you should give it to the goy. You should not carry it. Pachas midal ramas. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying, after all, that's a good thing, because up until now, where you were allowed to carry it, pachas midal ramas, there was a real concern that you're going to end up carrying it more. Okay. So we said Omar Mar Enim Anochim Anichal Achamur. We said if there's no goy with him, and then he should leave the money bag on the, then he puts it on the animal. So the question is, v'halei mechamer, don't you have the problem where he's doing the malacha of mechamer, which, as we said, causing an animal, leading an animal that's carrying something on Shabbos. And we said, besides for the mitzvah of shvisas behemta, that the animal itself has to be able to rest on Shabbos, you also have a separate issur, which the Gemara is going to discuss soon, that it might even be a malacha of Shabbos to lead an animal that is carrying something mukta. So how are you doing that? No, not something mukta. It's leading an animal that's carrying something in Rosh Hashanah. Well, that's what it means. In other words, you're causing the animal to go. You're telling it to go or whatever. It's walking with you. That's mechamer. And that's the word. Yeah, but the word mechamer means that you're causing the animal is going with you just by you walking. Let's say, fine, it's going with you. But yeah. So don't you have the problem That's also. V'rachmana omer lo sasek malacha, and the pasuk says you're not allowed to do any malacha, you and your animals. Now, what kind of malacha would an animal normally do? It would be things like carrying things for you, and we see that's also on Shabbos. The answer is omer abadav avamanicha le'achshima halachas. What you do is you put the wallet on the animal while it's walking. So now you don't have an akira. So the problem is, okay, but don't you have the problem? Inevitably, at some point, the animal is going to stop to urinate or to defecate. And at that point, it stops walking. So now you have, at that point, it stops walking. And it stops walking. And now you have, when it starts walking again, you have an akira. And eventually it stops again, and you have a hanocha. And still, it's still mechamer achabahemta. That's the problem. You still have the animal is doing a malacha for you on Shabbos. Doesn't matter. The fact is, it stopped and it started again. So now you have a kirva anocha. The answer is kshima leches manicha aleha. What you do is, when the animal is walking, you put it on him. Kshia medes noit lehemena. When it's standing, you take it off her. So there is actually a machlokas rishonim. What do we mean? Kshehiyai medes, does it mean before it stops? So like you see, it's about to stop, and you know your animal. You know you can see when it's about to stop. Then you have to take it off. So there's no akira or hanocha. Or the other way of looking at it is you could even take it off after it stops. Because fine, then there'll be a hanocha, but there's no akira. As long as you make sure to only put it on the animal while it's walking, then you never have an akira. So therefore, if you only have a hanocha, then it's not a problem. And akira, no, because like this, he's putting it down on the animal while it's walking. The akira, it's a moving object. So yeah, Rashi brings, we had at the very beginning of the Masechta, that, for example, if a person is walking around on Shabbos and somebody puts food and drink into his arms and he carries it, it's not considered that there was an akira over there. So in the case over here, so it's not considered a malacha, so it's only an issur d'rabbanan. And again, the chama matter it, because as we said, if not, then he's going to end up carrying it himself. So to put it on it, you definitely have to do it while it's walking. That way there's no akira. Whether you have to take it off before it stops walking or even after it stopped walking, that you have a machlokas, because we're showing him how to understand that part. Okay. So the question is, kshi mahalachas manichala, kshi emetis noit lehimena. So the question is, yohochi afilo chaveiro nami. In that case, then why do you dafka need to do that with an animal? If there's no isur d'oraisa involved anyway, you might as well give it to a fellow yid and have him do the same kind of thing. Put it on him when he's walking and take it off him before he stops. The answer is, Amar a papa, kol shabu gufei chayiv chatas b'chaveiro potter aval osur, because the rule is like this. If you're talking about something where if you were to do it yourself, you would be chayiv chatas, because it's an isur d'oraisa, then to have somebody else do it for you in this kind of thing, without akira and without anocha, would be osur d'rabbanan. So you still can't do that. But if you're talking about doing something where even with somebody else, it's only potter aval osur, then b'chamorim mutar l'chatchila. To have an animal do that, the chacham would be matur l'chatchila in this kind of case. So again, to put it on somebody else while he's walking and then have him and then take it off him before he stops, that would be an isur d'rabbanan, because he might actually come to do an akira v'hanocha, which would actually be a malacha d'oraisa. So therefore, but when it comes to an animal, the chacham will allow you to do it l'chatchila, to do it now. Even though it's his animal and it's mechaber achabahemte, but nevertheless, in order to avoid the more serious issue, right? Yeah. Okay. In the same vein, Omer Rab Ada Ba'Ava, Hoisa Chabilosim Unechas Layach Sefer. Suppose a person is walking and it comes Shabbos and he has a bundle on his shoulder. Rutz Tachter Ad Shemagi LeBeisai. He has to keep on running until he reaches home. The idea is when he's running, the idea is he's running, so he's never stopping. So therefore, again, there's no Akira of Isser because he started running before Shabbos began. You have a similar thing. It mentions in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, if a person realizes on Shabbos that he's carrying something, same thing, he should start running. Davka rots, he has to davka run. Abo kali kali lo, he can't go walking normally, walking gently. My time, a kivin de lusle hakera, because if he's walking normally, there's no hacker. Osilamev at akira anocha. So he may end up doing akira anocha and actually stopping and starting, and then he'd be chayev and then he'd be doing an isur daraisa. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine, that takes care of until he gets to his house. Soif, soif, ki motel beise, ef shalai koi kurta. Okay, but when he gets home, inevitably, he's going to stand for a second, because if nothing else, he needs to open his door, become Ayom or Rishas Rabim, Rishas Yachid. Don't you have a problem that he's doing Akira from Rishas Rabim and Hanochid Rishas Yachid? Now, as long as he was running, but then he gets to his front door, he has to stop for a second and open his door. So at that point, he stopped. Now, when he starts walking again, he's doing an Akira, and then he comes inside his house with the bundle, and now he did Hanochid. No. Remember, there's two different things. There's Akira v'Hanocha in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. We're saying he avoids that by running the whole time and not stopping. But now, when he gets home, he's going to go from Rosh Hashanah Rabim to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. There, it doesn't even matter four amos or not. But just the fact that he stands for a second in front of his door, and now he walks in with it. So now he did an Akira by beginning to walk in Rosh Hashanah Rabim and then stopping in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Well, his front door is facing towards Rosh Hashanah, but fine. Okay, so if he's going through a Karmelis, same thing. We said in the first parak that even you're walking through Karmelis on your way between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, you're still going to be chayiv unless you actually stopped in the Karmelis. Yeah. Okay, so the answer is Dizorik Le Kal Achayad. The answer is once he gets to his house, he has to throw it into his house Kal Achayad. So like, for example, he takes it with his elbow and throws it in like that. And that way, again, he's not doing an Isser Daraisa of carrying from one Rishus to the other, because that would only be if he did it the normal way. And this way he avoids doing any Isser Daraisa. If it's not in class, right? So, yeah. So, and again, the same din. So the Gemara is mentioning this over here in connection with where a person... where he was carrying the bundle when Shabbos began. But yes, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the same din would apply if a person realized on Shabbos that he was carrying something. So if he's able to drop it right there, then he does that. But if not, then he can run. Then he can start running and throw it over the fence or whatever. Kalachayah. Okay.